Fewer Cincinnati residents feel safe in the city compared to 2 years ago, and fewer rate the city as a good place to live, work, and raise kids. Those are some of the results of a survey of residents commissioned by the city. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the results and how city officials are using the information is Division Manager of Continuous Improvement in Cincinnati's Office of Performance and Data Analytics, Kelly LaFranchi. That's a great title, Kelly. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the conversation today.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And we also are expecting Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon-Kearney. She should be joining us momentarily. So, Kelly, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty first of how this survey is done. How is it conducted and how long has the city been doing it?
Sure. So the city initiated the survey in 2021, and we have since the inception partnered with ETC Institute, which is a nationally recognized local government research firm based out of Kansas. And their methodology is used to make sure that within the survey, we are able to receive back results that are statistically significant and representative of the population here in Cincinnati. And one of the ways we do that is by dividing the city up into six specific zones. We would love to be able to conduct the survey at the neighborhood level, but it's a bit cost prohibitive, and really wanted to be able to do something that we could conduct on an annual basis and be able to compare our results to our previous results, as well as other cities that we can benchmark ourselves against.
That makes sense. So you've been doing this since 2021. You have these zones that are established to kind of divide up the city, make sure you're representing these different areas of the city. What's the sample size of this survey and the margin of error?
Yes, so the sample size for the entire city is 1,200 respondents, and that's broken up into a threshold of 200 respondents per zone. And those zones were established based on neighborhood proximity and the population at the time in 2021. We had used that recent 2020 census data to try to keep the six zones as balanced as possible. And then within those zones, those 200 responses are also representative of the community. And when we receive, which we have in every city or survey we have conducted thus far, that 1,200 respondent threshold. This year in particular, I think we had around 1,247 maybe responses. And that gave us a margin of error or plus or minus 2.78%. with a confidence level of 95%. And so what that means is that if we were to take the same survey and conduct it 100 times, 95 of those times, the results that we would get from the survey would be within plus or minus 2.78% of all the responses that we have in our published data.
Okay. Well, how is the survey actually conducted? I know there's been a lot of skepticism in recent years of like telephone surveys and does it go to landlines? Does it go to cell? All that kind of stuff. Can you tell us about the mechanics of that?
Sure. So the prominent way in which the survey is delivered out to residents is through a mailed physical survey. That survey does also have a link to complete the survey online. And then if we're not reaching those thresholds that we had set out to reach that statistical significance, the vendor will share out a QR code on social media that people can scan and take the survey. And then on the back end, their team at ETC is going through those results and looking at key demographics and making sure that the results or the surveys that are included match that representative population per zone. So if we send a QR survey out and we get 300 responses, but they're from one particular age range, they'll go through and make sure that we're kind of keeping that final number of the surveys that are included in the data reflective of the population as a whole.
That makes sense. So back in 2021, how did the city determine which areas of interest to really ask about? What was the city hoping to learn from all this?
I think 2021 was really, the goal there was baseline data. We knew we wanted a larger section on public safety. That had been kind of the initial purpose when the funding was provided by City Council to like help us understand, you know, resident feedback in that space. And then we met with the vendor and really looked to them to help us understand what questions did they have benchmarked with other cities. Like, what are other cities measuring? Where are spaces that we might be able to learn something that's not front and center in our mind right now? And so the vendor really helped us create that first survey to give us a lay of the land. And our goal with that first survey was really just to learn that foundational, where are we? Mm-hmm. You know, until that survey, we're kind of, you know, walking blind in that survey space. So let's figure out where the community currently stands. And then from there, each iterative survey, we've had opportunities to either do a deep dive on certain topics. The full perception survey is done on an every other year basis. And then on those off years, we either dive deeper. We've done a performance-based budgeting survey as well in that space. In that initial survey is kind of what's highlighted over the years, the topic areas that we found have had, you know, very high levels of importance to the residents of Cincinnati and or lower satisfaction rates. And that's really where we try to focus then our time in better understanding and then actively working to implement improvements that make satisfaction levels rise and, you know, residents feel both heard and that we're acting upon that information.
Okay, so it's not like the city is trying to say, hey, we want to get whatever, ask whatever we can to get the best possible report card. You want to really know where there's dissatisfaction so that the city can figure out how to make improvements.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this administration as a whole is very much, you know, wanting to get out in community, meet people where they are, and, you know, with wonderful things that the manager and the mayor put into place around Rock the Block and different activities to get out into different neighborhoods has been wonderful. This is certainly a larger effort to follow up on those, to hear from people and really let people know. We want to know where you stand and what's important to you, because we want to then go back to our desks and to our conference rooms and have really important discussions that move the needle in those spaces.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the most recent survey of Cincinnati residents and what city officials are doing with that information. Do you have questions or comments? You can give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Okay, Kelly, so once your team has all this information, what do you do with it? It sounds like part of this is taking a deeper look at some of these areas.
Yeah, there's three main ways that as an administration, we use the results. The first is in our performance management space. So we work with every department to set performance measures, KPIs used in many other venues to really help understand, you know, what are your current services? What are we trying to achieve with those services? And what is that measure that would let us know that we're successful in that space? And so when we get the community survey data back, we look at some of those same questions around perception. We know what we're measuring internally. And sometimes we may be performing up to a performance measure we have, but the community perception may not rise to the level of satisfaction we might have thought. And so that really helps us know, okay, maybe there's an improvement opportunity in communication, or maybe our measurement of success is off. And so we'll take that survey data and look at our performance management system and try to figure out, should our performance measures look a little different? It's also used in performance-based budgeting. So we'll have that conversation of how do we allocate funds? The survey does a great job at not only letting us know resident satisfaction, but also lets us know how important certain services are to residents. So if we have services that are very high importance, and especially if there's low satisfaction, that helps us when we're working with our, you know, budget department and communicating with our elected officials to help understand how the larger conversation of how we may want to allocate funds and resource our different departments. And then finally, internally within the administration, we have a strategic program called the Strategic Initiatives Execution Teams. It's called SITE. And that is more of a space where multiple departments come into a room to solve complex problems. And they meet on a regular cadence, oftentimes with heavier lifting working groups attached to those processes. And that's where we really try to make some of the larger improvements. So one space recently that we had a site initiative and a working group based on community feedback was around winter operations. Mm.
Snow removal and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So the December 24 to January, February of 25, we, you know, heard from the community that there was very low satisfaction with how we had handled quite a big snowstorm in that early January of 25. And so we took a step back and, you know, our staff, you know, the drive, everyone in that space doing everything they could in that moment. And so it was like, okay, if our, you know, our staff are working as hard as they can, but we're not meeting that level of satisfaction, we need to take a step back and look at all the different levers. And so the community survey data, along with that site initiative, allowed us to completely revamp our technology, update some of our staff, like training and support mechanisms. And then we were able to kind of test drive it this year with snow. And we're still not perfect. We understand that there's always opportunities to improve. But we saw a very, very large improvement from community feedback after that work.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll continue this conversation after that. And later in the program, student art from behind bars. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about how Cincinnati residents feel about the city and the services it provides. My guests are Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon-Kearney. Thanks for being here, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Lucy. So glad to be here. Hey, Kelly.
Great to have you. And of course, we also have Division Manager of Continuous Improvement in Cincinnati's Office of Performance and Data Analytics, Kelly LaFranchi. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Vice Mayor, I want to get into some of the results of the survey.
Okay.
32% of the people who responded to the survey rated the city as a safe place. That was down from 40% in 2023. 50% of respondents said they felt safe in their own neighborhoods, but that was down from 58%. What do you make of results like that?
Yeah, so we weren't extremely happy with the results, but you know, they show us opportunities for improvement. Let me say a few good things out of the survey, because I know we want to focus on some of the harder areas, but we did outperform peer cities in terms of parks and recreation, fire and emergency medical services, trash and recycling services, and what I really love, customer service from city employees. So we rocked it in those areas. You know, in terms of parks and rec, we have more recreation centers per capita than, say, New York City. We're way ahead in terms of parks. Almost everyone, so more than 90-something percent of Cincinnati residents live within a 10-minute walk of a green space. And so we have a lot of amenities in the city that our residents really love. Okay, but they did tell us we've got a lot of opportunities for improvement. So some of the places, I think in terms of what residents said were the most important things to them, street and sidewalk conditions, neighborhood safety and crime prevention, code enforcement services. And then there was also some feedback about communication with the public needed to be improved. So those are four big areas for us. And we're already working on those. I mean, that's really the good news. We have a sidewalk pilot program. A lot of people don't realize this, but homeowners are responsible for repairing the sidewalks that abut their properties. And that can be really expensive. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at underserved neighborhoods, you know, low to moderate income neighborhoods where we can repair some of those sidewalks to see if that's something we can do, because that is existing infrastructure. And, you know, we've got railway money for that. So that's a good thing. Code enforcement, and I'm going to skip neighborhood safety and crime prevention just for a second. I'll get back to that. But code enforcement services, Mr. Dahlberg for the past past 3 years has had his inspection academy, which is just a great opportunity. It's a 48-week training program. It's paid training. You only need a high school diploma. And upon graduating and working for the city, salaries are something like $67,000 to $69,000 starting out. So really good salaries. And that's with a high school diploma and just a 48-week paid training. And so that puts more code enforcers in our neighborhoods, and especially people who are closer to, you know, look more like the people in the neighborhood, so they don't feel like, oh, these are folks who don't really understand this, but people, you know, your neighbors and friends who are coming to say, you know, we really want to help. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good thing. Communication with the public, we're working on that. Council has increased the number of public comment sessions before budget, for example. So FYI, the next one is Monday, June 1st at 5:30 p.m., where people can come in and you've got the privilege of the floor for 2 minutes to talk about whatever you want to see in the budget. In terms of neighborhood safety and crime prevention, we have a fantastic police force. I call them Cincinnati's finest because they are really wonderful. Our interim chief, Adam Henney, is just so fantastic. They're working really hard in our neighborhoods. They're below the full complement, but we've increased the classes of training police officers. We've even had a lateral class where it's a shorter training period where those who are officers in other areas can come to Cincinnati. So it's increasing the complement. We're still below the number of officers we actually need. And we're also putting a lot of money into prevention services and wraparound services like Hope and Shield in the hospitals, and Act for Cincy, Achieving Change Together. But this is more, preventative, which takes a longer period of time. As I keep saying, what we're really missing and we're talking about is intervention, which is more immediate. Immediate meaning maybe, 1 to 3 years versus 10 years. Yeah. And so we need that community violence intervention. So we're talking about that.
Right. And Vice Mayor, obviously public safety is such a huge area of concern. This survey covers a lot of different areas, as you've just mentioned. We do have a caller on the line. Alexis, I'm not going to put you on just because parking is not the focus of our conversation, but I know it's something that people are very concerned about. And Alexis from Over the Rhine is saying the city's ignoring Over the Rhine concerns about parking. Ticketing's gone up. She says there's been no community engagement on this issue. She sees the survey as an attempt to make it look like there's engagement without having the really tough work of engagement. Can you respond to that, Vice Mayor?
Yeah, Alexis Marsh is a great leader in the city, and we appreciate her work. I mean, she's a real advocate. And so I really, I like the fact that she takes, her good time to come down to City Hall and work with us. So last year, we walked with her through Over the Rhine, the area near Findlay Market, to see the issues with parking. And she was showing us how some people are handicapped but can't park near where they live. Some of the residents in her area can't find parking. And so some folks from Pendleton, some other folks nearer to Findlay Market all got together with our Department of Transportation Engineering and worked out a parking plan, which we put in place. And so the feedback was that the parking issue has gotten better, but there's still some challenges. So we had a follow-up meeting a few months ago, and we have to, it's still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But we did have several meetings with, a lot of stakeholders in the community and working together to try to find solutions. I know some people say if you live downtown, you shouldn't have a car. I used to live in OTR. I had a car. My husband lived down there. He had a car. And so we did have issues with parking. So, we want people, and some people really need a car.
Sure.
So we understand that it's not really a solution to say, if you live downtown, don't have a car. We just need to find a way to make it work so that people can park. Yeah, there are a lot of parking spaces, but they're not always convenient to someone's particular residence. And mm-hmm. so we're working on that. Yeah. We are definitely working on it.
Do you expect more in community engagement on things like parking always. And Over the Rhine?
Always. You know, until residents say, you know, enough, we don't need to meet with you anymore, which has really never happened. Yeah. We are always ready to engage because it's not just something that we can solve in City Hall by ourselves, but we need to get feedback. Alexis Marsh has been really good about saying, you know, have you considered this? This is something that's not in the plan. We really need to think about it. And so, you know, having her voice is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling Alexis.
Even though it sounds like she might be mad at us right now. Alexis, we're still hanging in there. So we're still working.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your call, Alexis. I'm sorry I didn't put you on. But like I said, the parking's not the keen focus of this conversation. I did want to ask you, Vice Mayor Kearney, overall, the percentage of people with a positive image of the city total dropped from 65% in 2023 to 42% in 2025. That seems like a pretty big drop. It's way beyond the margin of error that we talked with Kelly about earlier. What was your reaction to just that overall drop?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, we're always disappointed because, you know, we want our residents to be happy and satisfied, but that's a work in progress. So we understand, too, that according to the survey analysis, that often there's a drop like that because of long-term issues, not because of something that happened immediately. And so we know the things that are the top in terms of importance that we talked about, street and sidewalk conditions, public safety, code enforcement, communication, those are things that, because they've risen to the top and are probably harder to fix immediately, that residents are feeling not as encouraged as we would like for them to be. But, you know, we never give up. You know, I was listening to a speech at Spelman College, and they said, you know, never daunted by the fight. So we stay undaunted by the fight, by the work. I mean, we just have to keep working and keep working together. And so the feedback is very, very important. But for some of the things that I mentioned that we're doing, the work is in progress. Let me give one example, Department of Public Services, because a lot of folks, you know, in the past, last year, you know, winter before this past one, were complaining about snow removal on their streets. This year, we did have record accumulation of snow. We had 13 inches, but city streets were passable within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was because we have new technology. We have tablets in the cars that actually show the routes. There's this new kind of material called Beat Heat Liquid, which slows the bond, and we have to ask Mark Riley, our director, about this, but it slows the bonding process for the snow sticking to the street. I mean, there is a solution for all of this. We had 65 drivers out there per shift. They were on these 12-hour shifts out there, you know, in the middle of the night all the time. They treated the streets 48 hours or more before the snow actually hit. So just a lot going on. We've got this this warning system where, and I forgot what it's called, but it's some kind of technology where you can see what streets have been cleared and what mm-hmm. streets haven't.
Yeah.
So we're using technology and increasing the fleet, you know, materials. I mean, all of that to make it better.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, I know last year we walked through Mount Adams and they were saying, oh my goodness, you know, this was in 25, you know, we couldn't get off of we couldn't drive off of our street. We mm-hmm. had to walk down the hill to work and walk back. This year, because of the improvements that we've brought, they said, yeah, I went back and talked to some of the same people. They said, oh, things were great this year.
Yeah.
The snow came and you guys handled it. Not perfect. I'm sure somebody's listening and they're saying, wait a minute, I've got some complaints. That's all right. We know it's not perfect. You know, 311 is a place to go or call me. I'm always glad to hear feedback. But yeah. Things are getting better. And
yeah.
So that's the thing. We never give up. We all, you know, we're working for the 315,000 people of Cincinnati, and we work until we get it absolutely right. And that's always a work in progress.
Well, and Vice Mayor Kearney, I know ever since you took office, you've been very focused on talking with people, bringing meetings out into the community, getting that feedback, just you personally getting that. I want to read you part of an email we got from Stephen Oakley. He references the Hyde Park Square redevelopment, citizen Zoom meetings where there was so much opposition. He talks about the snow removal problems that you all have addressed. He talks about the removal of the fire and police chiefs, the kind of slow start to shovel-ready products or projects, rather, that the railroad money can be spent on. He says this documentation of citizen dissatisfaction should have been no surprise to elected and administrative officials at City Hall. And he's basing that on all these examples. So I guess based on some of those tough issues that City Council's dealt with over the past couple of years, were you surprised by that drop-off in overall satisfaction?
Well, you know, I can't say I'm surprised, because we do get a lot of negative feedback. Really, and, you know, not because all the work is negative, but that's kind of how it is. I mean, a lot of times people don't come in to say, we love you, you're great, thanks for all you're doing. People usually take off time because there's a problem. And so, and that's okay. You know, we understand that. I do talk to a lot of citizens, though, just walking around the streets and being in neighborhoods who feel like things are getting better. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, when you do a survey, you really are looking for where are the opportunities. We're not doing the survey to pat ourselves on the back. I mean, the point is, how are we doing? What do we need to do better? Where do we allocate resources? And that's really the whole point. We're going to do another one. Usually we do it every 2 years. We're going to do another one soon, though I understand the mayor wants another one. And so I think, you know, that'll be good to see, because we've done a lot of improvements. We want to see if people are capturing that. But we're still working. And so, you know, we can't be afraid of criticism. Criticism makes us better. Mm-hmm. And so, Steve, I hear you. You know, we've got some challenges, and, you know, we're here working for you.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney and Division Manager of Continuous Improvement in Cincinnati's Office of Performance and Data Analytics, Kelly LaFranchi. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy May. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Up next, student art from behind bars. This is Cincinnati Edition.